Nobody brings Philadelphia fans closer together than the Green Legion. From tailgates in South Philly to invading enemy territory, this group is the home to the true Philadelphia sports fan. Now their party hits the airwaves. Quimby, Michael Diaz, Chris Sack, Slash, and Super Sam Ross always keep the conversation going. So crack a beer, take a shot, and join the virtual tailgate now on Green Legion Radio.
Yeah. All right. Welcome to another edition of Green Legion Radio on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler in Philadelphia. And to those of you listening on the iHeartRadio app, please rate, review, subscribe, download the show on iTunes and Google Play by searching for Green Legion Radio. Or the simplest thing to do is just download that iHeartRadio app and you can listen to us anywhere crystal clear worldwide. We are live from Freeze Fest 2022 at the Ridley House in Holmes, Pennsylvania, off McDade Boulevard. They are going to be having, there's 10 rooms, 10 bands, 10 DJs. This is the eighth year that they've had this festival. It's going to get wild here. I was just talking to John.
It's cold. It's cold right now. It's Freeze Fest. They named it right.
Well, exactly. Yes, they did. Normally, sometimes it can get a little lukewarm this time of year, but not today. Not today. Freeze Fest is actually is really taken care of on its own. This party's really going to get jumping and kicking sometime around 5 o'clock.
Okay, we'll be done by
then. Yeah, we're leaving then. Yeah,
yeah, I know.
Irv doesn't want to be there when the party starts.
Which means there's going to be at least four parking spots that are available for you guys to come on down. So make sure you come on down and hang out here. We're going to be doing this show here until 5 o'clock. But the bar doesn't close until 2. 2 in the morning. So make sure you guys come on down here and party.
That sounds like trouble.
These guys are still going to be here at 2 o'clock. Yeah. These guys are right here at the bar.
God bless them.
There's a five-hour limit at the bar. Five-hour limit at the bar.
Was there a five-hour limit back in the day?
No. No. But we didn't, and we...
Well, I'm one of your hosts today. I'm Chris Sack with Green Legion Radio. They call me the Sack Master. I'm sitting alongside a distinguished panel here, alongside my producer / the Gobbler Nunnemaker, Kyle. How are you doing today, brother?
I got it right.
Irving does it the best. He does. I'm doing great.
Wait a minute, that didn't sound right.
Slash is to my right, but to my left are the people.
Now.
To my left are the people that you want to hear, because listen, we're driving the car, but these are the insights that you guys want to hear today. Eagles insider Dave Spadaro.
Yes. Hey guys, good to see you. It's been a while.
Yes, it has been.
4 years ago, what were we doing? We were partying.
Well, we were hungover.
Yeah,
the next day for sure.
Oh man.
But hey,
soon again.
It's
soon
been 4 years. Wow.
Well,
4 years.
We're going to touch on in the first hour here. We're going to touch on a lot about that. How are we going to get back to that point again? Because I think that's what we all crave. Yeah. Everybody says, oh, just give me one and I can die. No, I want another.
Yeah, exactly.
All right? And another
once you
and another.
Tasted the fruit.
Absolutely. Yes, yes. And sitting next to Spuds is Eagles legend wide receiver Irving Fryer.
What's up, man?
All right. Good to be here, fellas. Yeah, good to be here. It is good to be here.
It absolutely is. And thank you guys for joining us today. We're going to have a lot of fun these next couple hours. We're going to talk a lot of football, today. Listen, the NFL just continues. It's the gift that keeps on giving. It's not just the Eagles. We have Super Bowl 56 next Sunday, which is a fantastic matchup between the Los Angeles Rams and the Cincinnati Bengals. How about the head coaching hires? Doug Peterson is now the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yes.
We'll touch on that in the second hour. Kick-ass or jackass is what we end the show with every single time. Today's kick-ass or jackass is all Super Bowls.
So okay.
I've got a bunch of them. If you guys have any that you guys want to put in there as well. If anybody has any questions while we're off air during commercial breaks, come on over. Pose them, and we'll get them on air. We'll get your name, and we'll get them out there so everybody can hear what you want to ask Dave Spadaro and Irving Fryer.
You going to let them talk in the mic?
No, we can
turn around the mic around and let them talk on the mic.
Listen, man, you never know what they're going to say. Especially when they've been getting day loads on, man.
Like, these are people that think they're going to stay till 2 a.m.
Yeah, tonight. this is live radio here.
Well, yeah.
There's no 7 second delay.
Do we have Flyers fans here? And anybody a big Flyers fan?
Ridley is huge Flyers territory.
So here we go. So remember when the Flyers went to the Stanley Cup Finals back in 2010?
Long time ago.
So they had Flyers post-game live. And so Michael Barkan is driving the car of the postgame live.
He's a sack master.
So Steve Coates is down in the pavilion right there in Wells Fargo Center, and he's interviewing some of the fans. So there's this woman that's behind Steve Coates, and he's like, "Hey, Coatesy, go right up and talk to that lady right there. He turns around. He's like, her? He's like, yeah. He's like, oh, the Flyers are going to the Stanley Cup Finals. How do you feel? And she's like, effing unbelievable. And then he's like, so Coach is like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And then they all go back to the
perfectly
studio.
Perfectly acceptable.
Oh, gosh.
But Chase don't do that again.
Chase set the standard.
And then
Jason Kelce broke
Kelce,
it.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. No doubt about it. We're going to talk about Jason Kelce, too, in our last segment in this first hour. But, hey, first of all, let's get to some business here, okay? So I need to promote Twin Spires, okay? Everybody likes to sports gamble, right? I mean, you all have your different sports books that you like to use. Here in Green Legion Radio, we have the Twin Spires mobile app. You need to get that, download it, deposit $10 into your account, all right, and use the promo code LEGION10. When you put the $10 into that account, you can use it and put it on the Pro Bowl. I know everyone's like, well, why am I going to put $10 in the Pro Bowl? You want to know why? Because up until Monday, it has to be on a football game. Because if you bet that $10 and you lose it or you win it, you're going to get a $250 free bet that you can use on next Sunday's big game for the Super Bowl. Now, that's if you put it on the Pro Bowl. Effectively, on Monday, if you use it on a basketball game, you will get the $250 in your app and you can use it for the Super Bowl free. Put $10 in, and that's it.
That
Twin
like
Spires
deal.
Mobile app. Absolutely. I used that twice. I used it on my name and my wife's name, and I hit for $1,600 total with those $250.
Don't tell me that. That's very tempting,
get
man.
Get you right into it,
that's
right?
Yeah, that's very tempting. I'm not a gambler either, but that's very tempting.
Listen, but it adds more to the big game. No one has a leg in the race, right? Unless you're a Rams fan or a Bengals fan. You don't have a leg in the race next week, so why not? $10, $250 free bet for you to play on the big game next week. Do it now. Download that app.
Risk versus reward. Yeah.
$10 for $250?
Far greater reward.
Those are good odds.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Those are the great odds.
It's a great
yes. Thing. And while we're at it, Green Legion announcement. Listen, I hope we have baseball coming up because obviously I'm not going to say my own show. Green Legion Radio has their own show.
It's your show.
With yours truly. I hope Quimby's not listening because he doesn't want to hear that. With yours truly and Phillies broadcaster Greg Murphy, every Sunday during baseball season, 11 to 12, I do a show with Phillies broadcaster Greg Murphy called Bud Light Baseball Brunch. You guys want to make sure you're tuning into that 11 to 12 every Sunday morning during baseball season. Hopefully we have it, but we need baseball first. So go to greenlegion.com, sign up for the Phillies home opener tailgate on, hopefully, Friday, April 8th at 1100 Social at Xfinity Live. $99 per ticket and tailgate. Tickets are in the 200 level in right field or $60 just for the tailgate. All you can eat, all you can drink for 4 hours leading into the Phillies versus the Oakland Athletics. Perhaps a Bud Light Baseball Brunch special show with yours truly and Phillies broadcaster Greg Murphy. We sure hope so. And other sponsors that we have here on Green Legion Radio, we're brought to you by Bud Light, Stateside Vodka, MCS Residential and MCS Custom Cabinetry, The Next Sip, Cabs Restaurants, Delilah's, City Fitness Philadelphia, Echelon Health and Fitness, Bucks County Baseball Company, the website is bigger than the showroom, the King of Prussia Diner, Cherry Hill Triplex, Dave Bavuso State Farm, The Fin, now open for business, and of course, which I just spent a ton of time on, download the Twin Spires mobile app and get that $250 free play for next Sunday's big game. Now that the pleasantries
that was good.
That was good, good breath. Good that's, job.
Thank you, guys. Yeah. Thank you, guys. Appreciate
you. Let's talk football.
Let's talk football, please. Because, listen, I couldn't choose any two guys that I would rather sit beside and talk football with today than you two.
Well, I love it.
For real.
Well, yes, here, well listen, Quimby.
Rather sit again, next to Jason, let's hope Kelce. That Quimby's not
yeah, I'm sure you would have yeah, Kelce. Yeah, yeah. Or,
gentlemen.
What if Jalen Hurts was here?
If Jalen Hurts, no, I'd still pick you guys.
Yeah, right.
Because I don't know if the Eagles are choosing him as the quarterback. Why would I choose him to be my co-host?
Why do you
tonight?
Doubt that?
They're going to choose him as the quarterback.
Why would they not?
We're going to dive into that.
But I want to see Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson. No.
All right. So let's dive in. This first segment, we're going to talk all Eagles football. The first hour, I want to talk all Eagles football. So, guys, Howie Roseman and Nick Sirianni committed to Jalen Hurts being the guy in 2022 at their end of the season press conference. Do we honestly believe them, specifically Howie, that Hurts is going to be the guy, or do we all have that feeling that Howie will do some extensive research on these veteran quarterbacks around the league, perhaps using the draft capital that he has in that first round to bringing one in, or I'm hearing he's falling in love with a guy named Malik Willis down there at the Senior Bowl.
I think both. I think you have to do research on everybody, and you have to explore every possibility. But you also deservedly show a lot of confidence in a young quarterback who got a lot better in year two, who still has work to do. And I think the plan is going in right now, barring any change, any unforeseen circumstance, Jalen Hurts is your quarterback in 2022. And you use these three first-round picks to get your roster much better around Jalen. I think that's the plan right now.
That is the plan. But also, I don't see anything wrong or think anything's wrong with bringing another quarterback in, if that's what they choose to do. Because and I've said this before, you guys disagree, but you've got to have a good backup quarterback in this league, because chances are your quarterback's not going to play.
Now, well, they do have one, Gardner Minshew, as long as he sticks.
Yeah, but 1 year contract.
Yeah, Gardner, I don't think he's the guy, though. If you can get someone a little more formidable than him, then I think that's who you go with. But Jalen, it's good that Jalen has been deemed the starter for next year, and it's up to him to lose that job. It's up to him to lose that job.
See, the way I look at it from my perspective is, if you're in the AFC and you're not a fan of the Bills, the Bengals, the Chiefs, and the Chargers, you're pretty much screwed for the next decade, right? Because that's some tough competition. In the NFC, things are wide open. Tom Brady just retired. We don't know what's going on with Aaron Rodgers. But I'll tell you what, I'll tell you this. Aaron Rodgers, if he's not going back to Green Bay, he wants to be traded, because he's not going to want to be a part of the same Hall of Fame class is
why would he come to Philadelphia?
I'm not saying that he would,
okay,
though.
No,
but I look at the landscape of the NFC right now. Look at the quarterback situation.
Right.
It's Dak Prescott, it's Kyler Murray, it's Matt Stafford, it's Aaron Rodgers for right now, and Russell Wilson for right now in Seattle. The quarterback situation, everybody else, it's pretty sketchy. If the Eagles can make a move, I'm a Jalen Hurts supporter. I think he has earned the right to be the starting quarterback for next year. But if there is something on the table, if Russell Wilson says, hey, I want to be a Philadelphia Eagle, or I don't think Aaron Rodgers will want to come
here.
That's
why you do both. That's why you look around the league. That's why you prepare for every option. You prepare for any sort of unforeseen circumstance. At the same time, you make sure that Jalen Hurts knows that he is your quarterback right now. But you look, if Russell Wilson steps up and says, I want to play with the Philadelphia Eagles, then you have to consider that, right?
Not going to happen.
In the history of the Eagles,
the history of the franchise, what quarterback has come here as a free agent that is a high-profile?
Well, Michael Vick, but different circumstances.
He was going wherever he could. Wherever he could go, wherever.
What quarterback has ever gone from one team to another and like forced their way? I mean, they forced their way out, but have they forced their way to a specific team?
I don't know if they've.
Yeah, I guess Tom Brady would be. He forced himself out of
New England.
But, yeah, he wasn't supposed to wind up with the Bucs.
Yeah.
It was the Raiders. It was the Niners. Right. It was the Saints.
Yeah. But I'm saying,
and when they didn't jump on, the Bucs were there, and it worked out for both him and the franchise.
So what quarterback has come here to Philadelphia? That's my question. Who out of the quarterbacks you name, Zach, who would want to come here?
Why wouldn't any quarterback want to play with a team that has a great offensive line, that's got a lot of draft capital, room in the salary cap?
Can I say something?
Yeah.
I'm going to say something as a player, okay, because I came here as a free agent. Most guys don't want to play under that kind of pressure. There's a lot of pressure. In Philadelphia.
Is that, Irv?
Well, that's the fan base. The media, it's different here than it is everywhere else. I'm telling you, as a player, it's different. And a lot of guys, particularly these players, don't want to have to deal. Carson Wentz, perfect example. That's why one of the reasons he never recovered, because he could not deal with the scrutiny. He could not handle emotionally and psychologically the scrutiny that he was under here in Philadelphia.
The thing is, I don't want to go off on a beaten path here with Carson Wentz, but he knew that no matter what he did, it was never going to be better than what Nick Foles did in the Super Bowl.
And that's why he kept trying harder, digging a deeper hole for himself, and
absolutely,
he never was going to recover.
But you do have quarterbacks that are out there that might accept that challenge. I mean, I know that, you know, Russell Wilson has been in the Great Northwest for all these years now, and he's performed, but it has not been in a hotbed
He's been in Seattle.
Look at last week with what happened with Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid. Okay, Andy Reid, he was here forever, right? But if that game happened here, he would have been crucified.
Exactly.
Pat Mahomes would have been crucified.
Exactly.
All right. But they have a lot of leeway out there in the Midwest, because the fan base is they're fat happy. They're happy. They have happy fat, right? Mm-hmm. Like when you get married, happy yeah. fat is what
they're
it's
soft,
called.
Soft,
yeah. yeah, they're used happy to this fat. Now. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like they're like, oh, you know what? We've gotten ours. We got a Super Bowl. We went last right. year. We've right. been in the conference championship 4 years in a row. Like they're not going to destroy them. But I'll tell you what, if that was the same circumstance here in the Northeast, whether it was New York City, whether it was Boston, exactly. whether it was here in Philadelphia, they would have been killed.
Well, right? I'll just say this. Like Jalen is the quarterback, and he's handled it really well here, the pressure of Philadelphia, the way he came in as a rookie, replacing Carson, the change of the quarterback, the coaching position, head coaching position, the way the fans have been divided on him. I don't think, though, Irv, I don't think the fans or the media have been particularly hard on Jalen.
No, I'm not saying Jalen. Jalen was drafted here. I'm saying a quarterback who would voluntarily come here as a free agent, you know, obviously a contract that's appealing to him, but who would come here voluntarily from those fat, happy places where they're not used to being scrutinized. Why would they subject – they're not going to subject themselves to that kind of scrutiny.
Can we go with the assumption for the rest of the show?
Yes.
That Jalen's the quarterback and talk about what the Eagles are going to do the rest of the
offseason?
Absolutely,
because that's right, coming right up on the run sheet just real fast.
I read the run sheet this week.
I didn't read it. I know I got it late. Did you send
hold
it late?
Dave?
First time ever.
Well, I guess it really –
New year, new me.
Hell has frozen over at Freeze Fest.
So well, we usually didn't get a run sheet till we got here.
Two things, Dave. Okay, he just had surgery, Jalen Hurts, on his ankle. He's expected to be ready for OTAs.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah,
and listen, I don't want to go off on a complete sidebar, but just real quick, yes or no, any interest if Deshaun Watson becomes available from both of you?
I would say that would be a tough one.
That would be a hard sell for this fan base.
Really, and, you know, that's really serious. That's...
Just say no.
No.
It's drugs.
Just say no.
Well,
yeah.
you're bringing him in to replace Jalen. You're not bringing him.
Oh, no.
In. You're not bringing him in
exactly.
for him to be the second quarterback.
No.
So no interest.
There's no second quarterback if it's Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, or
right.
Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
But the thing is, do you want to have all that baggage that comes with Deshaun Watson?
No, well, let things clear out. No. I mean, I wouldn't
as
deal with it
just stand
like
right
everybody
now?
Else is not deal. Yeah. Not
no.
right now.
Absolutely not.
Is he a great quarterback? Can he get the job done? Yes.
I think the best path forward for the Eagles is to kick butt in the offseason, to just home runs in free agency because they're going to have some cap room, kill the draft, build around Jalen and hope he's gotten better because he does need to get better in year three. And I think that's the best path forward, and I think that's what they're going to do.
Well, let's get specific here, okay? Say you are Howie Roseman. What are the priorities for you this offseason to take this team to the next level?
Every level of the defense needs to be addressed.
Absolutely.
Still need wide receiver to be addressed. Running
a specific
back,
kind of wide receiver.
A bigger bodied.
Yes. And a slot wide receiver that can possess the ball.
Right. Well, not well. Devontae is kind of like that.
But he plays on the outside.
He plays on the outside. But yeah. if he had someone to play on the outside,
he would kill inside.
He could play on the inside because that's the kind. He's a Fred Biletnikoff kind of route runner.
So you want
Fred
yeah.
Biletnikoff?
Yeah, yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, because he's a possession guy. He's not. He's a
I'll
chain.
Take you guys' word.
Slash is like, who's
listen,
that?
He's a chain. He's a chain mover. He's not a guy that's going to run down the field. That's why he didn't run the 40 at the combine because he's not fast. He's not going to run by people. He didn't have real big explosive plays. We need someone like that to take the pressure off of him that's going to stretch the field, that's going to give him the room to maneuver
and
work underneath.
So you want two bigger body wide receivers on the outside so we can move Devontae to the slot?
They need to redo the whole wide receiver position except for Devontae Smith.
You don't
they
like,
need to get rid
like,
of all of them.
You don't like Quez?
Huh?
You don't like Quez?
What has he done?
Quez can stick
Quez
around. But
Quez runs.
He does run. They all run.
He makes plays down the field.
Sometimes.
I like him as a fourth wide receiver.
Yes, as a fourth wide receiver.
As a fourth wide receiver,
he's not
I like Quez.
He's not a second wide
he's
receiver.
He's still raw, too. I mean, like they drafted him in what, the sixth round?
Yeah.
He's not a second wide receiver.
I think you're putting too much on his plate. If you bring in a veteran wide receiver and you draft another guy to come in here to help out with Devontae, and listen, if you solidify that wide receiver core, Dallas Goedert's going to get a lot more
right.
wide open, a lot more opportunities.
Only have two targets right now, Goddard and Smith. That's it.
That's it. And that's been difficult
for
Hurts.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
How about you, Irv?
That's, like I said.
Wide receivers.
Wide receivers. I'm
not in the first round,
obviously,
please.
You got to do something.
I agree with you.
You got to do something. No, it doesn't have to be the first round, but you can go free agent. But you have to do something on all levels defensively, obviously. The offensive line is solidified, but maybe you want to get an extra guy to help them out a little bit just in case someone gets hurt. We had that problem where they're shifting around and had those issues. They handled it well this year. But that wide receiver position, they have nobody other than Devontae who is actually one that a defensive coordinator has to sit down and make a count for him. There's got to be other wide receivers that every week when a defensive coordinator is planning to play defense, his defensive team against the Eagles, there's got to be another wide receiver that that defensive coordinator says, we have to account for him.
Yeah, here's your on the roster long shot. They love Keyshawn Johnson. Where do you see him in training camp this year? I'm telling you long shot, but you heard it here first.
Keyshawn Johnson. Yeah.
Give me the damn ball.
Yeah. So I think that's, yeah, Keyshawn Johnson. Yeah, that's his name.
Keyshawn Johnson?
Yeah. I mean, he got promoted. He was on the active roster.
Wow.
For the Bucks game in the playoffs. You'll see. Well, we'll see. I'm not saying he's a starter. I'm saying he's a long shot.
We're talking about the same Keyshawn Johnson, right?
Keyshawn Johnson?
We're talking about 0-2.
There were only
spelled differently.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, different Keyshawn.
I was going to say, let's get Keenan McCardell in here.
Jimmy Smith, bring him back.
Yeah.
All right, so how about we do this? All right, we got a couple minutes left in the segment, and I want to roll over a couple of these other questions towards the next segment. So let's take an early break here, okay? Greater Philadelphia Health Action, providing medical, dental, behavioral health, pharmacy, and child development services for over 50 years. Full family care for the entire family, prenatal, pediatrics, adults, specialty services, and more. COVID-19 vaccine and testing available. 11 locations throughout Philadelphia, over 85,000 patients. Telehealth and on-site appointments available. Schedule an appointment today, 1-888-296-GPHA. Website for more information services and a complete listing of locations, www.gphainc.org. Again, download that Twin Spires mobile app, $10 into your account. Put Legion10 as the promo code, and you get $250 for the big game. Put that $10 on the Pro Bowl tomorrow. Put that $10 on any basketball game starting on Monday. And get that $250 free bet for this upcoming big game between the Los Angeles Rams and the Cincinnati Bengals. This is Green Legion Radio. I'm sitting alongside Urban Fryer and Dave Spadaro right here at Freeze Fest at the Ridley House in Holmes, Pennsylvania. We'll be right back on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler right after this. Welcome back to the Freeze Fest 2022 here in Dave Spadaro's location.
I mean, really? It's
in Delco, baby. He's a Delco man. King of Delco.
The Freeze Fest has frozen herbs toes. He's over here.
He's like, where's the
heated bench?
Yeah, moving up my leg.
Do we need to get the needle out for the one toe again?
No, not that one. I'm done with those needles, man.
Welcome back to Green Legion Radio here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. Yet again here at Freeze Fest 2022 in Holmes, Pennsylvania, right off McDade Boulevard. Get down here. This place is going to start hopping and getting crazy. Right around 5 o'clock, we're on from 3 to 5. And then this place is going to close down at 2 a.m. in the morning for those of you that can actually party that long. I passed out on my couch last night watching the Sixers game probably around 11:30. So I won't be here with you guys, but you guys have fun. Sexy Rexy in the house. What's up, brother? Hey, this just in from Quimby. Biggest Green Legion announcement. This Friday at noon, we will open up early bird deposits for the 2022 season. A fully refundable or transferable $150 deposit will get you preference on hotels, flights, and game tickets for every game next year. Arizona, Chicago, Indianapolis. So those of you that hate Carson Wentz, you can go out there and boom there if he's still there. If he's still there. Houston, Detroit, Dallas, and go down to D.C. to face the Commanders, the Commies.
We're going to talk about the Commanders later on.
We'll talk about the Commies later on. And Dan Snyder, what a clown that guy is. Sell the franchise. Actually, no, keep the franchise. You're doing quite well over the last 25 years. All right, so second segment here in our first hour, and let's continue talking birds, okay? Because everybody wants to hear about the Eagles. So, Irv, I'm going to start with you here.
All right.
Mm-hmm. You're the general manager of this team.
No, I'm not, because I don't make enough money.
Mm-hmm. Not yet.
Mm-hmm. He would love that.
But just in case, for one day, but that one day is the first round of the 2022 mm-hmm. NFL draft. What are you doing with those three first-round picks? What positions are you looking to fill? Are you looking to trade any of them?
It's great you say that, but my with the first pick, I'm getting a defensive rusher, a lineman who can rush, who is qualified, who's done well in college, get me a rookie, who's young, who's eager, who's hungry. I need a rusher, somebody to put pressure on the quarterback. That second pick, I'm getting a linebacker. Okay, I'm going to solidify my defense. I'm getting
1979, Irv. 1979.
I'm getting an athletic linebacker, a linebacker who can cover backs out of the backfield, a linebacker who can split the gap and get to the quarterback, a linebacker who has good feet and good size. That third pick, I'm using that third pick for a trade for a wide receiver. And a formidable wide receiver, experienced wide receiver.
Calvin Ridley, Atlanta?
Doesn't matter. Whoever. Calvin.
For a first round pick? First round draft pick for a wide receiver.
It's got to be a wide receiver, obviously, who is successful, who has had success.
Signing a measure of success.
Yeah, there's plenty of free agency. Success,
I'm going to trade for him so I can put someone on the other side of Devontae that I know can get the job done. Now, when you draft, it's a rookie coming in. You don't know what they're going to bring to the table. You hope that they continue to get better. You hope that they can come in and make the adjustment in the NFL. But there have been times with draft picks when they come in, they don't pan out to what you think they may pan out to be. So I want to get a wide receiver that I know who's been there, who's done it, that I can count on.
Howie Spadaro.
I'll give you a really boring answer because I don't look at it like I got to get that position, that position, that position.
Best available?
I think the only I'm not sure there's a position on the roster that I wouldn't draft. Like, if there was a great offensive lineman, I would take him. The Eagles are good on the offensive line, but they're not. There's always room for improvement.
Do you take a center there? Because Jason Kelsey is on a year-to-year.
Yeah, but Isaac Seumalo can be the next center. Landon Dickerson. We don't know if Kelsey's coming back. But I agree with Irv in the sense that, like, let's just discuss the needs and the priorities on defense. An edge rusher, they've got to have one.
Right.
They've got to have more pressure inside because Fletcher's play was not this past year where it's been. Brandon Graham's older on the edge. Josh Sweat's a nice player, but he's not he's not enough. There needs to be more there. And I agree, linebacker, that the way the game has changed defensively, offenses spread defenses out. You need athletic linebackers that can cover sideline to sideline that are almost kind of like safeties. They're safeties exactly. At the line of scrimmage, mm-hmm. But they're also stout enough to play against the run. So I need safeties. I need cornerbacks. I need linebackers. I need defensive tackles. I need defensive ends. All in on defense first round. And if there's a really good offensive player there, I'm cool with that. I'm not certain. I've told you guys my feelings on wide receivers in the first round. I just think that as great as Devontae Smith is.
I was a first-round draft choice.
I know. As great as Devontae, and you're great. You're a great player.
First overall.
But I think you can also find, when I look at Odell Beckham Jr., it was a first-round pick, but the Rams now have him via a trade or free agency or however he got there. Cooper Kupp, second-round pick. I don't think the Bengals and Ja'Marr Chase was a game-changing player, but they already had in position the quarterback. They had a good defense and an offensive line that was decent. So you really couldn't pass up on a game-changing wide receiver. I generally don't like wide receivers in the first round. I love Devontae Smith.
Even a game-changing wide receiver like Chase?
I mean, I think that it rarely changes the game. I mean, I'll give you an example.
When you look at Devontae Smith and you look at Chase, there's a big difference.
Here's my example. Justin Jefferson is a great wide receiver, right? Mm-hmm. But how many games has he changed the game for with Minnesota? How many playoffs have they made?
Well, unfortunately, wide receivers can only play as well as their quarterback and their offensive line plays.
He's had a ton of catches, a ton of yards, a ton of touchdowns. But it doesn't change. It doesn't win games. I think everybody.
They're a 500 team.
I think everybody in the NFL, or if you would agree that nowadays it is so easy to catch passes.
Right.
Right. So.
So like, what is it? What element of the game changed the game for you?
The line of scrimmage.
Right.
Changes the game.
Okay.
Pass rushers and offensive linemen.
Okay. So you're talking about running the ball because they're protecting the quarterback to pass the ball, or they're opening holes so the running back can run.
I think if you have a good offensive line, you can do if you have a great quarterback and a great offensive line, you can do anything you want.
So that's Minnesota's issue. They don't have a great offensive line. Right. So how can the wide receiver perform at his peak level?
I'd like to go back to that draft and say, was there an offensive lineman that Minnesota perhaps could have taken?
Uh-huh.
Instead of Justin Jefferson, or a defensive player that would have made a difference because their defense sucked last year.
So are there any needs? And I don't mean to take over from you.
I asked the questions, and you guys take it over.
Is there any place or position on the Philadelphia Eagles right now that does not need to be improved? would you say?
I mean, I think you need improvement everywhere.
Okay.
All right. Maybe offensive tackle, but Lane Johnson's getting older. Jordan Miles, I mean, I don't know. Yeah.
What about the three-headed monster running back?
To me, running backs are the easiest position to fill.
Right, okay.
Yeah, especially Miles Sanders is going into his last year of his contract.
Jordan Howard's a free agent. Boston Scott's restricted. Yep. And nobody's sweating that because Jordan Howard, anybody in the league could have had Jordan Howard almost the entire season.
And Kenny Gainwell played well.
Yeah. He'll be a good player.
I'm not going to say that.
He'll be a really good player.
Gainwell played well.
Yeah, he really.
All right, so let's talk about the guys that are halfway in, halfway out. Okay, guys that are set to be free agents. I'm going to put a name out there. You just say, bring him back, let him go. All right? Derek Barnett. Dave.
I mean, his production has not matched his draft status. So,
and he's a bonehead.
So I think
I can say that you can't.
I think he plays really hard. I think people like him in the organization a lot. And I'm sure he's going to go out in free agency and look for big money. I'm not sure I would pay him big money.
I agree with you.
He didn't make enough noise. He's like you said, he's exposable.
Yes. All right, Steven Nelson.
Steven Nelson, again, I think he's a decent cornerback. But again, it depends on if he's still there after 3 weeks of free agency, then maybe I'm thinking about it. But I'm not breaking the bank on Steven Nelson.
No, I wouldn't give him a great big contract, but if I could keep him, I would keep him.
Yeah, exactly.
And if someone else comes in that is a better corner and replaces him, he's still valuable and viable for that Eagles team because he did play well. He did play. As that defense got better, he got better along. He was never a position where an offensive coordinator said, we can pick on this guy. Tom Brady did a little bit. Well, but
he's
never
Tom Brady.
Okay, but that's Tom Brady. He picks on it. Okay, you're going to pick on Nelson or you're going to pick on Slay? You would think that every game Nelson would be getting picked on.
Yeah.
Because they weren't going to pick on Slay because he's a better corner. But that didn't happen.
He makes, I know his nickname is Big Play Slay, but he's more inclined to make a play on you.
Right.
Steven Nelson, he was good, just not good enough. I think you need another playmaker on the other side.
Well, how many big plays did he give up? I mean, did he give up a whole lot? I don't know.
That's the thing,
did he give up a whole lot of big plays?
The defense didn't give up a lot of big plays because they played so off.
Yes.
But that's what you had to do based on the personnel you have. Yeah, and it worked. It did work.
All right, Rodney McLeod.
I'd like to bring Rodney back, but I recognize that he would be like a minimum contract kind of guy, veteran. I think safety is a position the Eagles need to get a lot better in. So I would try to upgrade and then see if Rodney would come back and in that kind of veteran minimum role.
Disposable. He's disposable.
I like Rodney McLeod. I really do. I like the leadership that he brings, but we need playmaking ability in the secondary.
Right. He's not
outside of Darius Slay, we need guys that are going to go get the ball and not just, you know, that dink and dunk stuff that was part of the defense.
Yes. Not just play
defense.
Yeah,
we need guys that are going to go ball hawk.
Right.
So if you can get better there, go get better.
And safeties are supposed to be and need to be ball hard.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Now, Jordan Howard.
I mean, yeah, I'll bring him back if he's still there just before trade. When my roster's set and the draft is over, if Jordan Howard is still a free agent, I'd be happy to bring him back.
Jordan Howard, keep him because he was a part of that whole transition when they just started to run the ball. He was in that group of running backs that was there on the field and changed the whole dynamic of that offense and the team for the Eagles as they went on their run to get to the playoffs.
As opposed to using a fifth-round pick on a young guy who's 235 pounds, right? I kind of like the young guy who's 235 pounds who's healthy.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, these two are not free agents, but can we possibly see them in Eagles uniforms next season, or do we even want to?
Don't say Aaron Rodgers.
J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and Jalen Reagor.
I mean, I think JJ, you want to wait on young players and you want to wait and give them every chance. I think the Eagles have given him every chance, and I just don't see the next step for JJ in Philadelphia.
Wasn't he in for like two plays and got hurt twice?
He broke his finger on that one against Dallas that he butterfingered. It was, and JJ is such a great kid. It's so sad, but he just hasn't developed into that kind of. They drafted him to be, go get the 50-50 balls, go use your size, and he just hasn't done that. So I think the Eagles need to really upgrade that position. And then with Reagor, I mean, I'm bringing him back, but I'm making sure that I got
fifth on the depth chart.
Well, I'm making sure that I'm not counting on him to be a starter. If he takes that next step in year three, great. But otherwise, I mean, there can be no guarantees for Jalen Reagor anymore.
Irv.
I give Jalen Reagor no wiggle room at all. I think they need to clean house at the wide receiver position, except for Smith and
Starter. And Watkins.
Okay, you guys said Watkins.
But you have five.
He's not a schlep rock. He's not a schlep rock. So, Watkins. But they need to clean house and renew that whole receiver core.
Okay. All right. So let's. We got a few minutes here left in the segment.
They've used so many draft picks at wide receiver, and we're still talking about redesigning the whole personnel group. Like what?
I said I would do it in free agency, or not free agency, but I wouldn't draft. There's other positions I think that are more important right now at this stage than the wide receiver in terms of using the draft picks.
Let's evaluate the general manager and the head coach here real fast, okay? Howie Roseman, general manager, and head coach Nick Sirianni. What do we think of the jobs that both of them did this year? For it being a rebuilding year and the team went 9-8, made the playoffs, but didn't beat a playoff team or a team that ended the season with a winning record. We're down 31-0 to Tom Brady and the Buccaneers in the wild card round. Was this season a success in your eyes, and evaluate the performance of both?
I mean, we can't help but say there's no way you can say that this season was not a success. A year ago, no one, right before the season started, no one was expecting the Eagles to make it to the playoffs. Most people thought that they would have a losing record at the end of the season. But lo and behold, things turned around. With all of the pressure, with that terrible start, things got better. They played better, started winning games, got on a roll, went 7-2 the last 9 games. It was absolutely wonderful. I would say it was definitely a successful season. Did we want it to end the way it did? You know, getting bounced by the Dallas Cowboys that last game of the season and then getting trounced by Tampa Bay? No, we didn't want it to end that way, but it did. But we did make it to the playoffs. You have to take the good with the bad and see the bright side of it. This team went further and farther than anybody thought it would, and a rookie coaching staff with a bunch of young people, young players, did some great things this year, played some great games, and overcame a lot of negativity.
So I go back to how everybody felt a year ago. Eagles had gotten rid of Doug Peterson, hired a coach nobody knew about. Is Carson Wentz going to stay? Is he going to go? All of his cap problems. We've blown this draft pick. So the Eagles were in a down cycle, and every team goes into a down period. That the Eagles were able to get out of the cap problems, get back into the playoffs, fortify their draft capital, find a coach who didn't blow timeouts, who didn't mess up challenges, who didn't screw with time management, right? I mean, in his game management, Nick was really good, I thought, who was able to change the offense.
Halftime adjustments.
Good job, halftime
adjustments.
Adjustment.
Really good halftime adjustments.
Kept his locker room together. Total plus for Nick Sirianni. And then for Howie to put this organization back on path to have 3 first-round picks, 10 draft picks, 9 in the first 5 rounds, cap room. The Eagles are going to take a big jump in this offseason. So I thought both of the guys did a terrific job. You're always going to have a down period. The New York Giants, an organization that I respect so much, they've had 5 straight double-digit losing seasons.
3 straight head coaches that have lasted no more than 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, and it happens all over the league. So the Eagles went into their dip. They're out of their dip after a year. The season was a good next step. It was not a success from a standpoint of, we only care about winning the Super Bowl. If you don't win the Super Bowl, it's not really a success. So we've only had 1 successful season in my life, 25 years there. But from where I felt last year at this time to what I feel right now, how much excitement I have with what's ahead of the Eagles, I think they both did terrific jobs. And the Eagles are on the way back up.
Real quick, before we take a break, I just want to get you guys' insight and opinion on this. So let's take 60 seconds here. If Jonathan Gannon is hired to be a head coach elsewhere, would you like to see Sirianni bring in a veteran defensive coordinator who has had previous experience in the position, perhaps one that has also been a former head coach?
I mean, I'm not sure on his defensive staff right now that there's somebody that you promote. Young linebacker coach Nick Rallis. Denard Wilson has been around the league a little bit as a defensive back coach. I would prefer going, and I wish Jonathan Gannon the best of luck. He's a great guy, and I hope he gets a job. And you have to be prepared for that. I would go veteran, experienced.
There's a lot out there.
Coach out there.
There's a lot out there.
changes aren't always good, and frequent changes aren't good at all. This team has just started to gel. Everybody pretty much, the coaching staff was new, and including Gannon. And for a change to take place now with this team and all this positive energy and these positive thoughts about going into the draft and what can happen to this team and the big jump that they can make during the offseason, going into the season, for Gannon to leave and bring in another defensive coordinator, I think that would be something negative for this team, because they've galvanized something here together. They've come together as a group, and Gannon's a part of that group. In spite of how we think he is as a coach or what we think he should be doing in terms of more blitzes and playing different kinds of defenses, they did a decent job this year on defense. Now, you give him some more players, linebacker, a rusher that can – edge rusher who can put some pressure on the quarterback.
Give him toys to succeed.
You give him some toys to play with. Now he can make some tweaks and do some different things. So change sometimes isn't always good for me. And particularly – listen, I play for a bunch of different coaches, a bunch of different quarterbacks, a bunch of different owners. Change is good sometimes, but most times it's not good. It's disruptive.
The way Spuds speaks of Jonathan Gannon, you would think he's a good neighbor. Like Dave Avuso State Farm, you deserve to get good service and great rates. At State Farm,
well,
we get it, and we're here to help. Because with every State Farm policy, you get good neighbor service, and you get surprisingly great rates. So what are you waiting for? Get going and talk to local State Farm agent Dave Avuso about your surprisingly great rates today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. When you want the real deal, call Dave Avuso State Farm Agency, 856-740-5012. Individual premiums will vary by customer. All applicants subject to State Farm under writing requirements. This is the Green Legion Radio Show here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler at Freeze Fest. Oh man, it's gonna get crazy, it's gonna get wild. We're starting to get a crowd right here in this bar area, and I know, right? So make sure you guys hang around with us. Come on down and hang out and get some drinks right here at the Ridley House in Holmes, Pennsylvania, 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. We'll be right back right after these messages. Welcome back to Freeze Fest 2022 here at the Ridley House in Holmes, Pennsylvania. We are Green Legion Radio. I'm Chris Sackmaster, sitting alongside Slash the Gobbler, Eagles insider Dave Pizarro, and Eagles wide receiver legend Urban Fryer.
Why do we do that different? You like?
Well, you're more. Yeah, you're like.
I just shake my head.
Shake it off like a dog. You know. Speaking of dogs, hungry dogs run faster, and the hungriest dog of them all, Jason Kelce. I wanted to take a little bit of time here. I know Dave has covered Jason his whole entire NFL career, and Urban, you've been in NFL locker rooms for however long. So I want to expunge a little bit here on Eagles center Jason Kelce, Eagles legend Jason Kelce, because we're not sure. Is this the end of the ride? Is this going to be it? So I want to take this time and talk about him. Dave, please go.
Yeah, I mean, Jason is everything you look for in a player on the field, a teammate in the locker room, a person in the community. He's a great father. He loves his kids. I mean, he's just a fantastic, humble, hardworking guy. Who was a late round, undersized draft pick, who made himself into a great football player, of course, with the help of an offensive line coach who's a great coach as well. But I can't speak enough about how tough he is, how much he loves the game, how dedicated he is to the game, how much of a leader he is. I still don't know if he's coming back. I feel like there's a 50-50 shot, maybe better. I don't know what he's thinking, how his body's feeling. It would be a big loss. Jason Kelce is an all-time Philadelphia Eagle. And, you know, we've had a few of those really tough guys through the years. And Jason is as tough as anybody I've ever seen, as cerebral as anybody I've ever seen, as athletic as anyone I've ever seen. He's a great teammate. And from I work with the Eagles, of course. And working together with Jason in a variety of ways, he's incredibly cooperative. He gets it. He's smart. I mean, he's kind of like the ultimate guy in every way, on the field, off the field.
Absolutely. Irvin, your perspective from a former player's point of view, how invaluable a leader like this man is in a locker room. Perhaps you can give us some perspective on players, leaders, genuine leaders that you played with during the course of your career. You know, please.
Well, it's invaluable. You can't put a price on it. You can't even measure it when you have great leadership. And that's what Kelce is, obviously. There are younger guys who come in and glean from him. There are older guys, when the tough going gets tough, they look to him. If I could talk a little bit about what players go through, there are some things that factor in making the decision to retire. Obviously, how they feel, what kind of season did I just have. And Kelce had a great season. There were things he was doing that I never noticed before, down the field blocking linebackers and leading the way and snapping the ball and pulling out. He's really at the top of his game right now, though he's older, but he's playing at the top of his game right now. One of the other factors is, where is this team going? Is this team on the upside? Is the team ascending? And that's where the Eagles are right now. This team is ascending. There wasn't a season in my career in 17 years that at the first part of the offseason I didn't have the thought about retiring. So
why? Just because you were beat up?
No, I wasn't beat up. I think we just all think about it.
Yeah.
For different reasons. We all have different reasons. One of the biggest factors for me was when I retired is, can I still do, not that I couldn't play anymore, not that I couldn't perform anymore, not that I couldn't be a starter anymore during the season, but was I able mentally and physically to do what I needed to prepare myself during the off season for the season? Because I worked harder in the off season than I did during the season, and it took a lot. And a lot of the work I did was by myself. So it's hard working out by yourself. So that's one of the factors that play in, that come into play. But I think Kelce, this is just my opinion, I think Kelce is going to remain because he's playing so well right now. Didn't seem to have that many injuries or that many bumps and bruises this year. He seemed to stay pretty healthy, and he's at the top of his game right now. There's no downside to it. He didn't have a drop off. It's not like he's not playing well right now, and this team is on the ascension. So I think that he's just as hungry as the fans are to get back to the Super Bowl. And this team, in the next few years, if things are done the right way, can have a real legitimate shot for getting back to the big one.
Irv, how much does it factor in that in today's world, the way the offseason is structured, there's no contact, there's really no football until the end of July. And even then, training camp is not as physical. Yeah. Will that, do you think, impact Jason's decision in that, hey, you know, he's got a bunch of time to recover mentally, physically, spend time with his family, And he obviously comes back to a system that he knows inside and out. Will that help him maybe stay in the NFL for another year?
Well, it will help him stay in the NFL, not just another year, but that has a lot to do. I mean, the way things are done now, they really take care of their players. You know, practices and the coaches making sure that, for instance, when I came here to the Eagles, my second year here with the Eagles, the trainers came to me because I was one of the older cats. I was performing. I was the go-to guy, but I was one of the older guys on the team. The trainer came to me. His name was James. I forget what. James Collins.
James Collins.
James Collins.
Now with the Chargers.
He came to me, and he said to me, listen, on defensive day, offensive day was Wednesday, defensive day was Thursday. Defensive day, you're not practicing the season.
They had so many rest days.
And he took care of me. And it made a big difference. So when you have coaches that recognize, you have veteran players that when you don't have to run them, when you don't have to practice them hard, they give them that break. That plays in as a big factor with guys remaining on the team and extending their longevity and their career.
So if this is it for Jason Kelce, obviously we all want him back. I don't think there's a single soul in the Delaware Valley that does not want Jason Kelce back next season, for everything that he is and everything that he means to us and the Philadelphia Eagles organization, we need him back. And I think he wants to come back because, like you said, is there an ascension here? I think if the Eagles followed up the 4-11-1 season last year in 2020 with another clunker this year, I think it makes his decision a little bit easier.
Easy. Yeah.
Like, I don't see what am I going to do this all offseason for? What am I going to do all these workouts for if there's no payoff in 2022? I think he sees that, right. Hey, we're ascending here.
And Stout is his coach, and, you know, he loves Stout.
He's a great relationship with Sirianni.
Yeah, and so there's Jason doesn't have to be – he's not going to be meant to go through the mental grind of learning the offense and the technique and all. So, I mean, let's hope so. But look, at the end of the day, we respect any decision that Jason makes.
Absolutely.
He's got to do what's right for himself, his family, his long-term health. He's taken a beating at that most physical position of center since 2011.
He gives a beating, too.
He does give a beating. So, I mean, I'm hopeful that he comes back, but I do know that, you know, Jason will always be – he'll be a Hall of Famer for the Eagles, and I believe he'll be a Pro Football Hall of Famer.
That was my question.
With this latest Hall of Fame, with this latest All-Pro selection, I think he'll go.
Irv, what do you think?
Definitely
Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll be the first round.
First ballot's tough.
The first ballot's tough.
It'll really matter who's in the class
right,
with
who's,
him.
Yeah, who's going at
and
that
a lot of times
time.
It depends on the position too.
Exactly.
Like they don't want to put two offensive linemen in there at the same time.
Exactly.
Who's been waiting on that list for a while?
No, he's got a better chance of getting in than I do.
How close have you gotten to this point?
I think not first ballot, but the next year, my fifth year out. You're eligible after your 4 years out. My fifth year out, my name was in the mix, but it fell off quick.
So guys, listen,
I don't get it. Your numbers are great.
People don't like me, man.
that's not true. We love you here.
Well, you love me, but dude.
You're in our Hall of Fame.
We're a minority here.
No doubt about it. So, guys, listen, I'm going to go to break here because when we come back, we have somebody that's on the line.
Uh-oh.
And I want to do nothing more than to leave him on that line for a few more minutes. And I know he's probably going to get on, and he's probably going to start yelling at me and screaming at me. But
I wonder who that is.
You know what? He is quite the treasure, and I'm going to leave that treasure on hold for a few more minutes here. So MCS Residential and MCS Custom Cabinetry.
Jack Master stepping up.
I'm only saying that because he's in the Caymans. Yeah. For all your residential contracting needs, this is who you want to talk to. Everything from additions, renovations, kitchens, baths, closet organization, cabinetry, vanities, basements, everything you need. Mention the Green Legion to get 10% off your order, regardless of how much. You guys should see the work that they did on my house. Holy crap, I can't wait to use them when I get my kitchen done at the end of the year, at the beginning of 2023. Reach out to them at www.mcsinc-pa.com or call them at 484-202-3656. That is www.mcsinc-pa.com or call them at 484-202-3656. Green Legion Radio, live at 2022 Freeze Fest here in the Ridley House.
We're taking a big long break right now, aren't we? A really long break.
Actually, we might not come back at all. So let's why don't we cut off the line from the Cayman Islands here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. We'll be right back right after these messages. Welcome back to the second hour here at the Green Legion Radio Show, live at 2022 Freeze Fest here in Delco, which is the area with which Dave says he's a legend.
I'm not a legend.
He's a legend in Delco.
Dave, the legend of Delco.
There is no legend of Delco. No legend of Dave.
You know who's going to dispute that when we bring him on air here in a minute? Actually, maybe we should
Take another break.
Maybe he should
let him hold a little longer.
Quimby should stop thinking about tomorrow. So
let's
go ahead. John Jansen, please. Let's bring in the president, our leader, the host of Green Legion Radio, live from the Cayman Islands. Craig Quimby Chinaski. Quimby, are you there?
Man, I'm not supposed to have that kind of intro. You ruined half the stuff I wanted to talk about.
Ah, really?
Well, it's so great to hear his voice just complaining. He comes on and he starts complaining.
I mean, the guy's sitting there drinking. He's probably sipping on a Mai Tai on the beach somewhere.
We're here partying at Freeze Fest, and he's in there poolside.
It's cold here, Quimby. Yeah.
I literally wanted to make the Cayman Islands Freeze Fest announcement. It's 82 degrees here, completely sunny, and there's a lot of skin walking around from Europe right next to me.
Well, that's nice.
You're welcome.
Is there any way we can get more volume on him, or can we just cut him off to begin with? Hold on, turn on. Quimby, speak again.
Quimby, let's really what I want to know is this, because you're so good at this with Twin Spires, and we want everybody to sign up, and it's fun, and people are here. They've come up to the table and asked us about it. So Quimby, you're the gambling man. How are you looking at Super Bowl 56? What are you seeing? What are you seeing with the line? What are you seeing the over under? Give me the expert opinion with the Super Bowl 8 days away.
The expert opinion is I'm following trends right now. Five out of your last six playoff games had a margin of victory of 3 points. You got the Bengals at +4. I'm taking the Bengals. Plus, nobody expected them to be there, but remember, oh, and this will help in your Jamar Chase is not a change of game player. The Bengals had to beat the Chiefs twice this year. Once on January 2nd, where Chase had 11 receptions for 266 yards and 3 touchdowns. So I don't understand how he would ever change it, Dave.
I didn't say he wasn't a game-changing player.
You absolutely did.
No, I didn't. I said in general, wide receivers are not game-changing players. They had pieces, and they went in, and he was the exception, and that's why he was a top 10 draft pick. As I've stated to you before,
Jamar Chase was part of the reason they beat the Chiefs twice.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Predominantly, and if he doesn't catch that touchdown and that 2-point conversion, it's a brand new game.
Absolutely, great football player.
Two Super Bowls and 4 conference championship games instead of 1 out of 4 like he is known for doing twice.
All right, well, great to hear from you, Quimby. Thanks.
No, hey, I wanted to talk about Jason Kelce.
Please, go ahead.
I think the man should retire.
Explain.
And the reason being,
you're getting booed. They're throwing things at us because of that now. Way to go, Quimby.
No, it's okay. Listen, here's the deal. All right. The man doesn't have to prove anything else. He has done enough for this city than any 3 men have ever done in Philadelphia sports. In addition to that, I know you guys are talking about the team being on the up and up, and I agree with you, but this team is not on the up and up to win a Super Bowl or get there next year. Let's table our expectations. They're on their way up. When you're talking about asking a player who's already, 11 seasons in at a very demanding position to play at least 2 or 3 more seasons to hopefully get to that point. And I don't know if you should be asking that because what Irv said earlier about Chase is pretty impactful. I want to see one of these kids get the ball under center because in 2 or 3 years, when we're back in that position, we don't have to worry about whether or not Jason Kelce's going to retire.
Quimby, actually, real quick, we have a special guest right now that has something to say to you. Please, go ahead.
Hey, Quimby, what's going on, man?
Schaefer,
I'm on my way down to the Cayman Islands.
To a radio show.
Yeah, I'm just trying to steal some of your sunshine, man. That's it.
Yeah, we could use it.
It wouldn't be freeze fest if it was warm here, though, right, John?
Can you tell Connie Piper to not give Chris Sack his check today?
Unfortunately, she already
has.
Already
done.
already got checks. Quimby.
With a smile.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've already mobile deposited it too. So thanks for that, Quimby. Yeah.
Coming from a guy that always brings the A team, man. We got an A plus team today. Just want to tell you.
You guys, you sound absolutely great. This show is awesome, and Schaefer, appreciate you allowing us some geography there today.
Now, Quimby, I didn't mean the A team here. I meant in the back room with the girls. All right, just to be clear,
we're the B team.
Definitely the B team. There's no doubt about it.
Quimby, I'm at the table. I'm not in the back room.
sorry, Shane. Didn't mean to give you the B squad out there, bro.
I'm gonna peace out. I ain't stealing any of your time here. Right, I'm coming out to see you soon. I promise. All right, thanks.
All right,
appreciate it. Love you guys.
All right. Sounds great, Quimby. Do you have any other nuggets of knowledge before I hang up on you?
No. Just
okay. Good. See ya.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah, good. Let's get back Quimby, to the show. Let's Quimby, get the show back on track.
Thank you.
Good to hear your voice, Quimby.
Yes. Thank you for having us here. I'll tell you what, Quimby. This spot right here, and I know he's probably still listening. I think he just hung up. But this spot right here, if we're gonna do a player show next season, this is where I want to be. This spot right here is absolutely awesome. Huge. 10 rooms, 10 bands, 10 DJs, a bago tournament, beer pong. People are gonna get reckless here today.
What tournament?
Beer pong?
Oh, bago. I think you said bago.
Bago. Yeah, bago is it's cornhole.
Oh, cornhole.
But they advertise bago. So I said bago.
I love cornhole. No, I'm great at cornhole. I actually think I could be on a professional tour of cornhole. No, I just never heard it called bago.
Can I say something else about guys retiring? It's not, I know Quimby mentioned that Kelce doesn't owe this town or anybody anything, that he should retire. But for a player, having been there, having done that, having gotten the T-shirt.
You only have one shot at it.
not that you only have one shot at it, but the competition is not about proving other people wrong. The competition is from within. It's subjective. What do I got to prove to myself? This dog has to be put to sleep before I can retire.
Love it.
So it's not about me proving anything to anybody else. It's a fight. It's my own internal fight, my own internal battle that I have to deal with.
Do players, Irv, have a really, in retrospect, a grasp of what's next? I mean, you've spent your whole life knowing that at 9 o'clock you have a meeting, at 10:30 you have a meeting, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, everything's cadence, schedule. Do players understand that the real world's not like that?
For the most part, most of us don't have a plan for what's next. For me, I did have a plan, but my plan got shredded when the Lord called me the pastor. But, you know, I started out with CNNSI when I retired. That's what I wanted to do, and I was damn good.
I was good.
Trev Alberts and Bob Lorenz and myself, we had a great show down in Atlanta live, 9 to 10 in the morning every Sunday morning. Bang, man, it was great. And then AOL bought CNNSI and put them out of business. And then I worked here with ABC, Channel 6, WPVI, for a year or two, I think it was. Then they were getting ready to make me the sports
anchor.
Sports anchor for the weekend, though. I couldn't take it because I was pastoring.
Oh, I gotcha.
So I had to turn down the job, which I kicked myself in the behind. Because I would have been there like 20 years now and nice little pension, and I wouldn't have all these headaches that I have.
Well, but before, real quick, all right, because listen, we've had a lot of big news over the last couple weeks, week or two here, especially in NFL. And we got 10 minutes left in the segment. I want to talk Super Bowl in the second segment. So just you're talking about that internal fire, that internal dog before you put it to sleep. Tom Brady just retired. I mean, like, that right there. I know not a lot of people in the Delaware Valley appreciate the man and the quarterback, but, man, that's got to take a lot. The guy had one of the best statistical seasons of his life, of his career. And, you know, after 7 Super Bowl championships, 10 Super Bowls visited, but he has a next, you know, step in his life. He already has, like, 3 businesses that he's a part of. I think he'd be great on television.
I think he should be the next 007.
He's a good-looking man. But mid-40s? Mid-40s? Man, God, Daniel Craig, I think, is in mid-40s or mid-50s. He's no longer doing it.
Tom Brady can do anything he wants. He can produce movies. He can be a music. He can produce music. He can do anything. He can be a broadcaster. He can do anything he wants. And I just found it interesting that he retired at this time. I thought he would play one more year.
I agree.
I thought he would kind of like go out with a farewell tour.
He didn't want one. He said that all along. He didn't want a farewell tour. And I think everybody would have known that it was a farewell tour.
And I respect that. I respect him going out on his terms, and he's healthy. And I'll go back to what you said earlier about in the Delaware Valley and people not really appreciating Tom Brady. I think everybody appreciates Tom Brady. I mean, we hate him because he's not ours. Like, I always hated Pete Rose until Pete Rose became a Philadelphia Philly and helped the Phillies win the World Series. Who would not have wanted Tom Brady to be their quarterback in Philadelphia?
I couldn't agree more.
We can't stand him because he didn't shake hands with Nick Foles. We can't stand him because he won seven Super Bowls. God. He's a baby. I get it. He's a pretty boy, all that. But he's the greatest quarterback in the history of the game, and he's got 7 Super Bowl rings.
If the dog hasn't been put to rest within himself, it doesn't matter what he does in these first couple of years, he's going to struggle. He's going to still have that internal struggle with that dog that wants to play that game. Now, a sign of that struggle is the fact that he turned down this farewell tour. The fact that he doesn't or is putting off a farewell tour, to me, is something negative in his mind about his playing and retiring. There's some kind of struggle going on. Why not let your fans celebrate you? Why not go out with a celebration?
Not everybody's built for that. And, you know, like the gifts from other teams. He's a competitor. He doesn't want to be, you know, toying with his emotions before a game when someone's giving you something for doing what you did for the game. I understand where he's coming from because I saw, like, you've seen it with other players. Like, you know, Kobe Bryant, like his last year in the NBA. But hey, let's get away from Tom Brady now. Let's talk about some head coaching hires, all right? Because some of them have direct impact with the Philadelphia Eagles. One of them, listen, let's talk about it. And we said it at the beginning of the show. Doug Peterson is back in the NFL as a head coach. He landed the Jacksonville Jaguars head coaching position. He has a number one draft pick quarterback from last year. He has the number one draft pick this year in this year's NFL draft.
Is a star defensive end in Josh Allen.
It's not a hotbed with media and fan base down there as far as demanding. He looks refreshed.
Yep.
Yeah, he took a year off.
Dave, you know Doug.
It's interesting because I hours before he was hired, I was thinking, gosh, man, everybody's talking about the diversity and the lack of diversity at the head coaching position, understandably. But, boy, Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl and has not been hired. This is crazy. Then he gets hired. He played it perfectly.
Was he looking for a job, though?
Yeah. But he got out. He took a year off. He got refreshed. And he's in a terrific position. I talked to him on Friday, yesterday. And he's happy as can be. Jacksonville's a good place. He's got good support from the ownership. And they've got a lot of pieces in place, including a franchise quarterback that they can build around. It will take a couple of years, but the Jacksonville Jaguars have a really good foundation. I think what's key for Doug is the coaches who are going to be around him. I don't know if Press Taylor is going to be his offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. I don't know that. But I know that Doug working with a franchise quarterback, a true franchise quarterback, should be gold for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I couldn't be happier for Doug. It's a great spot for him.
I think he's going to get some leeway, too, there real quick, Irv, because Urban Meyer was there, and he lasted 10, 12 games, and they fired him. So, you know,
Shaq, that was kind of his own fault.
Yeah, but Shaq Khan is not going to want to pay, you know, two head. Right now, he's paying two head coaches. He's paying Urban Meyer, and he's paying Doug Peterson. I think Doug's going to have a little bit of rope there. He's going to have some leeway. He's going to have some time to establish his team, his culture. He's not expected to win right away, and that's a good thing for Doug. No pressure.
And I think that's the new twist for Doug. When he came here to Philadelphia, the team was somewhat already in place. Now he's got some pieces he can play with, but he's going to have to build that team up to be a successful team that's going to make it to the playoffs and obviously, hopefully, eventually the Super Bowl. So the question is, does Doug have the ability to build a team?
And apparently, he's going to have a lot more say in personnel. They do have a little wonky GM situation, Trent Baalke down there.
Yeah.
But Doug's apparently going to have some more say in deciding who's on the team on the 53. So I know he's really excited about that.
Was it Rick Spielman too?
Spielman came with him to help out. But right now, Baalke is going to oversee free agency in the draft, and nobody likes Trent Baalke.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you followed anything with the Jaguars, it was all clown emojis that they had. I think the last game of the season against the Colts, everyone was wearing clown masks in the stands. They're trying to fire Trent Baalke.
Get him out.
Hey, guys, all right, so let's do some rapid fire here on the other head coaching hires, like or dislike. We don't have to expunge too much into each one. This one, maybe a little bit more because it has a direct impact within the division. Former offensive coordinator for the Bills, Brian Daboll, now the head coach for the Giants. Can he fix Daniel Jones like he fixed Josh Allen?
If they improve the offensive line, I think Daniel Jones does have some talent, so I think he can if they put a good offensive line in front of him. That's been the problem in New York for years.
That's an upside to it. He did, you know, did what he did in Buffalo. He can do the same thing because Jones is a good quarterback. I see upside to him, and Daboll comes in there, and if he gets good cooperation, if he's able to make the moves and decisions that he wants to make, and nobody's trying to manipulate him, he'll get that team on the right track.
Josh McDaniels to the Raiders. Josh McDaniels actually should have taken the job for the Colts after Super Bowl 52. He backed out. Frank Reich got interviewed, and he took that job. I'm a little surprised with Josh McDaniels, though, because I know Bill Belichick said he didn't want to coach into his 70s. He's going to turn 70 this year. He might have a couple more years left. Maybe he knows Bill Belichick a little bit more than Bill Belichick knows himself, the internal fire that lives within him. And this is a good opportunity for him with the Raiders, but I'm a little shocked by that.
Well, with New England, Las Vegas. Come on.
Yeah.
Yin and Yang.
New England, been there for 14 years, hasn't he?
In and out.
But it's been 14 years. He's been
2 years with Denver, and then as a head coach, and then a season of the offensive coordinator with the Rams.
And the Raiders. The Raiders were, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, based on all of the obstacles they had to deal with this year, making it to the playoffs, they were phenomenal. There's upside there, and I think that's a great choice for him to go out there to be able to continue to move that team forward.
I'm not a Josh McDaniels fan. I think what he did to the Colts was disgraceful, and I hope he fails in Las Vegas.
Come on, you can't do that. You can't wish bad on anybody.
All right,
no.
Guys,
Dave, I know you did. Better than that.
All right, I hope he doesn't do well. How about that?
Few more questions, and let's do a rapid fire here. Like or dislike.
All right.
Matt Eberflus to the Bears. Went defensive coordinator with a young quarterback in Justin Fields. I thought they'd go offensive.
Yeah, Matt does have a great reputation. I've heard a lot about him with the Jonathan Gannon and with Nick coming from Indianapolis. Very highly regarded. We'll see. There's always a thing. Like, Irv played for Ray Rhodes, who was a great defensive coordinator and a good head coach for a couple of years, and then the personnel around him and the coaching staff around him failed. Is Matt Eberflus a good defensive coordinator, or can he make that jump to being a head coach? I don't really know him that well.
Well, as a defensive mind, you have to delegate your weakness. Obviously, he does know offense because he defends against offenses, but he's going to have to delegate those responsibilities. Can he do that effectively? That's going to determine whether or not he's going to be a good coach or not.
Two more real fast. Nathaniel Hackett in Denver. Are they trying to entice Aaron Rodgers to go there if he seeks a trade out of Green Bay?
I mean, if they get Aaron Rodgers in Denver, they've got a really good defense. They've got draft picks. They could be a contender right away. My sense says no, Aaron Rodgers will not play there. I think that's a really tough spot with ownership changing. And I really don't know enough about Nathaniel without a franchise quarterback. The Packers played poorly when Aaron Rodgers wasn't on the field.
It's a tough situation because of the ownership change and everything going on out there. So he's going to have to man up and be solid in every decision that he makes because it's going to trickle down.
All right. Still openings in Miami, Houston, Minnesota, and New Orleans. Sean Payton stepped away, surprisingly, but he was burned out. Which one is the best situation left amongst those four?
I kind of like New Orleans. I do think they have some pieces there, and they've got to get the quarterback resolved, but I kind of believe in what they do. They've had some good drafts, and I'll say I like what the Saints have.
I would say New Orleans as well. Yes, the quarterback situation is up in the air. They need to fix that, but they suffered a lot of injuries to key players.
Michael Thomas will be back next year.
So that team is still intact with those formidable players, with those starters. It's a good situation for somebody to go into as a head coach.
Okay, Bucks County Baseball Company is the premier vintage sports clothing and collectibles retail store in the tri-state area. Visit www.buckscountybaseballco.com or stop by their Bristol, PA location. Items from the Phillies, Eagles, Sixers, Flyers, and much, much more. Again, visit www.buckscountybaseballco.com or stop by their Bristol, PA location. The showroom is huge. The website, even bigger. Bucks County Baseball Company, the name in Philly for vintage sports. Now we're going to talk some Super Bowl 56. In our next segment here on Green Legion Radio Show, live on Fox Sports The Gambler at 2022 Freeze Fest here in Holmes, Pennsylvania. Get on down here and let's get some drinks because the show's going to be ending at 5 and we can hang out for a little bit. And we'll be right back right after these messages. Welcome back to the Green Legion Radio Show here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. Hey, buddy, I'm sorry. We're on air.
No, we're good. No, see, this when you come here, these Delaware County has a ton of great football fans.
Absolutely,
they want your opinion.
They want to talk,
and they want you to know their opinion too. And I respect that.
And that's great. We can do it.
All right,
one more on break.
Your show. All right.
We're gonna dive in Super Bowl 56 here, but first, real fast, if you guys want money to bet on Super Bowl 56, you need to download that TwinSpires mobile app. Right on your phone, okay? It's nice, it's simple, it's easy. If you're in the state of Pennsylvania, New Jersey, you can bet in both states now. Deposit $10. Use the promo code LEGION10. Bet it on tomorrow's Pro Bowl or any basketball game effective this upcoming Monday, and you will have the very next day $250 worth of free bets that you can use for next Sunday's big game between the Los Angeles Rams and the Cincinnati Bengals.
Do a lot of people bet on the Pro Bowl?
Listen, but here's the thing.
How do you bet on the Pro Bowl?
That'd be fun,
yes,
though.
You can. But the $10 all season long that we've been promoting this, the $10 has been for only football games. So if you want that $250 free bet for the Super Bowl, I would bet that $10 on any team. I don't care. What's $10? I mean, you could do anything with $10, right? To get $250 worth of free bets, just put it on the AFC or NFC. If you win, you win. If you lose, you're going to get $250.
Yeah. Right.
That's not even your money for next week.
Yeah.
So make sure you guys take your phone out. Hey, I see a bunch of you guys over there. Take your phones out right now. Download the TwinSpires app. Download it. Legion 10. Deposit $10. Get $250 for the Super Bowl. Legion. Gamble that. Use that $10 on the Pro Bowl tomorrow or any basketball game effective this upcoming Monday. You guys will have $250 at free bets to use on the big game next Sunday. Speaking of the big game, let's dive into it.
Let's do it.
This one right here, guys, this is probably the most excited I've been for a Super Bowl since the Eagles. I mean, obviously with the Eagles, but outside the Eagles, it's fresh, it's new. The Rams were there 3 years ago, but that was Jared Goff. Like, it's exciting because
Patriots, and it was boring.
It was probably one of the worst Super Bowl. I mean, last year was a terrible Super Bowl too, which is funny because the first 8 Super Bowls that Brady played in, exciting. Some of the greatest Super Bowls of all time. The last 2 were just complete clunkers. They weren't exciting at all. But the Los Angeles Rams and Matthew Stafford in his 13th season, Joe Burrow,
he's the new Tom Brady.
He's the new Tom Brady, right?
He's the kid. He's the man.
Young, good-looking, you know, like he's just a boss.
Very
right?
easily could become the face of the NFL.
I agree.
He could.
Doesn't he seem like he's got the kind of personality that everybody in the locker room would like?
He's got
immediately follow that guy.
He's got moxie.
Yeah.
You call it moxie.
He's one of the guys.
Yeah.
He just happens to be a great quarterback who I don't think people really take into account. Or if he got a torn ACL last year.
Mm-hmm.
And to come back and to play with that kind of confidence in and out of the pocket, I thought pretty extraordinary.
And he plays extremely well under pressure.
Yeah.
You know, his offensive line is...
not good.
I mean, they're 30th in pass rush, you know, defending
sacks,
the pass
sacks
rush.
Allowed, sacks
and they're playing pass. Against the #1 pass rushing team. I really didn't think they were going to make it past the last game. I thought eventually deep into the playoffs it would catch up to them. They've been playing, you know, they're a wild card team, and they've been playing, you know, 3 games now. So I thought eventually it would catch up to them, their offensive line, the lack of offensive pass protection, but it didn't. Burrow's was able to get out of the pocket. He was able to make plays. Those receivers were able to catch the ball and score points.
That matchup, the Rams' D-line against the Bengals' offensive line, is why I think the Rams will win the Super Bowl.
Right.
But I want to say this. I trust Joe Burrow in this game more than I trust Matthew Stafford.
Well, Matthew Stafford, every time he throws the ball outside the numbers, you cringe. You hold your breath.
See, here's the thing, though. Real fast. Shout out to Todd Butler. Todd Butler, I'm sorry. It looked like it was butter. But nonetheless, Todd Butler.
Butter.
He's listening now here.
Butter.
Listening now here. Season ticket holder, and his family is here as well. Todd, thank you for listening and hanging out with us here today at the Ridley House. See, here's the thing, though, guys. All right? Listen, Matt Stafford is – there's more pressure on him in this game. Right?
Agreed.
12 years in the NFL with the Detroit Lions. He's waited his whole career for this moment in time. He's playing in his home stadium in Los Angeles for a team that he's only been with for 1 year. This might be – I know we talked a little bit at the beginning. The NFC quarterback situation is not that great. If you look at the AFC side, Burrow's going to have to go toe-to-toe for years, the next decade, with Josh Allen and Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes and anybody else that they tend to bring into the AFC. Hey, if Rodgers goes over there or Russell Wilson goes over there, Stafford's got it pretty easy now over in the NFC now that Tom Brady has retired and Aaron Rodgers might be looking for a way out. But Joe Burrow's playing with house money. This kid is unbelievable. The swag, the cockiness that he has.
And he's got a team around him.
He's got a nice team.
Their focus needs to be, during the offseason, their offensive line.
They had the same record as us last year. And the tie was us with them.
Yeah, in one of the ugliest games ever. I mean, look, there's a lot of great matchups in the game. Obviously, Ja'Marr Chase and Jalen Ramsey. I think the offensive line of the Bengals against the Rams.
Donald and Von Miller.
I just don't know how Cincinnati can handle that. Can Cincinnati run the football with Joe Mixon? How does Cincinnati match up on the outside with OBJ, with Cooper Kupp, with the weapons that they have?
Eli Apple and Cooper Kupp is a mismatch and a half.
Right. So look, in these 2 weeks, this is where coaching is so important and coming up with a great game plan and trying to find the right matchups and taking advantage of your strengths and trying to expose their weaknesses, and that's where the game's won in the Super Bowl.
I think we've seen in a lot of cases throughout the years that the team that has nothing to lose is the one that winds up winning the game. I mean, if we look back to Tom Brady's first Super Bowl, the Patriots had nothing to lose. They were 14-point underdogs in that game.
The best show on turf.
Yeah. they were 14-point underdogs. Right. The Eagles against the Patriots, backup quarterback, you know, second-year head coach. Like, this game right here, like, Sean McVay, in certain contexts, like, he almost choked that game away against the Niners in the fourth. Like, he had 2 challenges that he had no business challenging at all. Nothing. I don't know what he saw there. And Zach Taylor, he's just it's kind of like Joe Burrow playing with house money. There's no pressure on the Bengals
game. So you're saying the Bengals have nothing to lose?
Bengals might be a year ahead of the curve. Everything is on the Rams in this game. Stafford, the pressure is on him. The pressure is on McVay. Remember, that Super Bowl against the Patriots, he kissed the ring of Bill Belichick for the game, and then Belichick just smacked him down.
Hey,
man, you're going to go to the back of the class. I'm the man around here. He 3 points. 3 points were scored in McVay's first Super Bowl. They're the home team playing in Inglewood, California. All eyes are going to be on this game. Yeah. There is no pressure on the city of Cincinnati.
So are you saying Cincinnati's going to win?
Are you putting Cincinnati to win? You're laying all the groundwork. Tell me what's going
to
happen.
Well, I want to get to the end of the segment before we go ahead and make any predictions.
We want to rip you apart. We want to hear what you have to say, and then we want to rip you apart.
I'm the host here. You guys.
So you're picking the Bengals to win the Super Bowl. They have 4 points, right?
I'm going to get to that at the end of the segment. We've got 8 minutes left.
All right, so I think I think the only way I don't think the Bengals can come from behind. I don't think that if they're in a pass situation, I just think the Rams will tee off and kill.
They were in a pass. They've been in a pass.
I know, but I think the Rams
and Burrow, his mobility, his ability to move out of the pocket and still look downfield and get the ball to his receivers. That's why they're in the Super Bowl.
But the Rams have so much ability to.
They do pinch the edge. Yes, they do.
With their guys, they with do. Floyd, yes. with Miller, yep. and then they have Aaron Donald destroying inside.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think the Bengals are going to try to play really short passing game, eat the clock up, ball possession, run the football, maximize their drives, go for it on every fourth down. If it's fourth and anything less than 3 yards, they're going to go for it, and then they're going to put the ball in the hands of Joe Burrow to make plays down the stretch. Keep it close. Get it to the fourth quarter, and then we'll see how the Rams respond to the pressure that you're talking about, Chris.
I agree that really the only chance that the Bengals have in winning this game, because there's such a discrepancy in their offensive line and the defensive line for the Rams, and the Rams just they're just really good at putting pressure on the quarterback. They're going to have to change things up a little bit and start this little short passing game and get the ball out of Burrow's hands fast and not give that defensive line time to get pressure on him or to get him to move out of the pocket. They're going to have to do a lot of that in this game, and that, I believe, at certain points, certain times, they'll take the shots down the field.
Yeah, I mean, the Titans sacked Joe Burrow 9 times in the second round, round.
Well, he sacked 62 times this year.
Yeah, so that offensive line, it's surprising that they're there with that offensive line. The way that they're going to is they're going to have to do a lot of draw plays. They're going to have to do some screens to mix in.
To give some help to that offensive line.
And they'll max protect, and they'll hope that Chase wins his matchup against Ramsey, and T. Higgins wins his matchup on the other side. If the tight end comes back and plays, that's great. Otherwise, I mean, he's a huge weapon.
Both tight ends might be missing that game, right?
And that would be a massive loss for Cincinnati. But I think they can hang around, and the longer they hang around, the better chance they have to win the game.
Right.
That said, I still think the Rams win the game.
So are we giving our predictions right now?
I'm just giving. I'll give you my score in just a little bit here. But I'm telling you, I think at 8 days out, I think the Rams win the football game.
I think the Rams win the football game too. And as much as I said about everything being in the favor of the Bengals, because really they're playing with house money, they have nothing to lose in this game. I know it's the Super Bowl, and you don't want to be the one that loses in the Super Bowl, or have you been there?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
the 85 Bears,
and
right?
Yeah, we were the worst at the time. We were the worst loss in the history of the Super Bowl. It's been worse ones since then, but we set a record.
Yeah. Let me give a shout-out to, I'm not wishing ill upon him, Irv, and I like him a lot.
Choose your words wisely.
I'm going to give a shout-out to the worst decision of the year award, and that goes to DeSean Jackson, who
what an idiot.
Went to L.A., home team, hometown team, playing with the Rams, not happy with his role, wants out, gets out, and now the Rams are in the Super Bowl. Something that I would think that every player
you think
in
he's
his
kicking
career,
himself in the behind?
I wonder if he is.
I wonder if he is.
I mean, he had a chance to be on the Super Bowl team, and the way it played out with the Rams and the injuries that they had, he could have had a really significant impact.
Yeah.
Well, it was the week after. It was the week after is when Robert Woods
got hurt. Yeah.
Did he think that he was supposed to be more of the forefront in terms of the receipt?
I mean,
you got
about
Cooper
him.
Cup, you got Odell Beckham. Come on.
Beckham wasn't there.
At the highest.
Van Jefferson.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, but Beckham Beckham came in after.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Now, do they still bring in Beckham if DeSean Jackson is still on the roster?
When Robert Woods goes down.
Yeah, but he already had signed before Robert Woods. That was the first week that Beckham was on that team was when Robert Woods
got out. Probably not.
He probably would have went to Green Bay.
Probably not.
And then that might have changed.
It might have changed everything.
Might have changed everything.
Yeah.
So
really interesting. I mean, I just, but again, Deshaun had a chance to be in the Super Bowl. He's had a distinguished career. He's done everything. He's made the Pro Bowl. He's been a terrific player. The one thing he hasn't done is play in the Super Bowl, and he blew his chance.
Well, he did it again. He went 99 and a half yards and let go of the ball.
Oh, I like that, Irv. I like that.
99 and a half just won't do.
All right, so between Stafford and Burrow, okay, so we know the stories and that, you know, everything that goes along with both of them. And they're both likable guys. So it makes rooting in the Super Bowl, like, there's not really a side. Like, normally you go into a Super Bowl, and like, as much love and respect, or respect, not love, that you have for Tom Brady in his career, not a lot of people rooted for Tom Brady in every single Super Bowl that he was in.
I did. Not the one with the Eagles.
Well, against the Giants. Both of them against the Giants, yeah, I did. Yeah. But you know, these guys right here, you go in, and there's not one side where you go, man, I really hate this guy. I want to root for this guy. Both of these guys, I'll be happy either way it goes, but Stafford has been in the league for so long. A guy that tries to win in Detroit for 12 years. And, you know, think about it. Like, franchise icons there retired after 9 years. Megatron.
Yep.
Barry Sanders.
Yep. You
know, Stafford, and he won my respect.
Well, he survived Detroit, so you got to take that off to him.
That's a great point.
He survived.
His rookie year, when they played the Browns, and it was fourth down, and he threw a pass, and there was no time left on the clock. He got drilled, and his shoulder popped out. And they had to pop it back in on the sideline. There was an untimed penalty, and he went back on the field and threw the game-winning touchdown. That right there won all the respect in the world for me. And then Burrow, at the same time, the ACL situation. I mean, that was that looked gruesome, the ACL situation.
Right.
And for him to come back the way that he has this year and throwing this team on his back, they're both likable guys, both guys that you want to root for. And either way this Super Bowl turns out, it's going to be great for the NFL. I mean, at Los Angeles, Cincinnati.
The whole playoffs have been great for these last 2 weeks.
The playoff games have been unbelievable. Insane. This game could end up being lopsided. I mean, we talked about this earlier. The game is won up front. This game could really turn out to be lopsided if that offensive line.
The Rams are better in the trenches on both sides of the ball.
Yes. And this game could end up being lopsided. It will start out okay, but it could end up really getting bad.
Can
I'm talking about bad for Cincinnati.
Go ahead.
I think the Rams will win this game 38-35. Woo! I think it's a high-scoring game. I think we're going to get back to great football offensively. I think both quarterbacks are going to have big days. But at the end of the day, I just think the Rams, who showed a lot last week coming back from a 17-7 deficit in the fourth quarter, I think they win. And the Rams fans around the world who've been waiting for forever, right?
Well, St. Louis, right, and Los Angeles, back to St. Louis, back to Los Angeles.
Yeah, I mean, are St. Louis Rams fans of the Los Angeles Rams?
Rams, they're the Rams. They're still the Rams. Yeah, but
that's an awkward situation, right? I mean, the Eagles almost moved away.
Yeah, right. The Arizona Eagles, I mean, how many Eagles fans would have still rooted for the Eagles if they were in Arizona?
Oh, that's 0% chance. Yeah. It's kind of like when the Browns left and they went to Baltimore. Were they rooting for the Ravens?
Yeah, exactly.
No, they were rooting for their team to come back.
So anyway, I'm calling for a Rams win, but only by 3 points. So whatever the line is, there you go.
The line's 4.
Okay, well, then there's a cover.
I picked the Rams. I just think this weak offensive line, Cincinnati Bengals, and the strength of the defensive line of the Rams, it's just going to catch up to the Bengals. It's
you think it's going to be a blowout?
I don't necessarily. It could be, and it could easily be. I don't think it will be, but it's a fine line between, you know, being a real competitive, exciting game, and it lasts for 4 quarters. There's a fine line between it being over shortly after halftime.
The Bengals can't get into this game and rely on McPherson. This game right here, you're not going to win this game by kicking field goals. There's going to be points, and the points are going to come at a premium. This is going to be one of those games where it's going to be 27-24 late in the game. The Rams are going to have the ball. They're going to be leading 27-24, and that's where the spread comes into play.
Are you a prophet?
Yes, he is.
He's prophesying?
Yes.
Or are you prophesying?
34-24.
Okay.
Wow.
So we're kind of thinking the same way.
Yeah. Right? The Rams are going to score. There's
saying,
no doubt about
he's
it.
He's saying 20 points.
The Bengals don't have corners that can cover these two wide receivers. Beckham has been outstanding over the last 5-6 weeks, and Cooper Kupp is just a,
nobody's
a,
covered
a beast.
Yeah.
8.5 is the over-under in Vegas for his receptions in that game. I think it's 104.5 is his receiving yards. There is no way. He's going double-digit receptions. He's going 120 receiving yards. Take the over on both of those prop bets.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what Cincinnati's defense comes up with. They'll play zone defense. They'll have some gimmicks out there. They're not going to give up the deep ball. They're going to double Cooper Kupp.
Listen, teams have been trying to do that with Cooper Kupp, and he still gets open. The scheme and how much pressure they put on those safeties, they still manage to get him open and get the ball in his hands.
All right, friendly reminder here that the biggest Green Legion announcement to date, this Friday at noon, we will open up early bird deposits for the 2022 season. A fully refundable or transferable $150 deposit will get you preference on hotels, flights, and game tickets for every game next year. Arizona, Chicago, Indy, Houston, Detroit, Dallas, and to head down on a bus to D.C. to the Toilet Bowl that's FedEx Field to face the Commanders. God, that sounds awful.
The Commies, that is. It's the Commies.
The Commies.
They're not
and
Commies. They're
friendly reminder to all of you here, and if you're in another room somewhere here at the Ridley House at 2022 Freeze Fest, we have four beautiful calendar models that are with us today. Go and see them. Get their signatures on your 2022 bikini calendar, Philly's Finest calendar. They're over there. Make sure you get that. And they're also going to get you signed up for the Twin Spires mobile app. $10 deposit, Legion10 promo code, $250 that you can play for the Super Bowl next Sunday. Make sure you use that $10. If you're going to bet tomorrow, put it on the Pro Bowl. If you want to wait until Monday, put it on one of those basketball games, because you will be able to do so and get the $250, a free bet, effective Monday if you bet it on a basketball game on Monday, and then you'll get that $250 free bet the next day. Come on, sign up now. Grab your phone and get signed up. We are Green Legion Radio here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. We'll be right back right after this. Back to the Green Legion Radio Show here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler at 2022 Freeze Fest here in Delaware County. And man, this place is awesome. It is huge.
Why does the show seem a whole lot stressless?
More fun, you
today?
Mean?
Yeah, we're just
more free flowing.
There's no stress. It's not stressful today.
Next question.
What's up with that?
I hope he's not listening right now.
I'm just here so I won't get fined.
I have nothing to do with this, and I hope I don't get fired.
You're fired.
Hold on. Mute Dave.
Yeah, right.
I'm the one that asked the question.
God, yo, I'm telling you guys.
Well, don't discredit that Diaz isn't here either.
That's true.
That's a positive.
Is it Diaz?
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah. It's a tag team.
All right.
Guys, this place right here, I don't know about you, but I am overwhelmed with how big this place is, how much space there is. They're expecting 2,000 people here today at the Ridley House.
Wow. We need more people because my feet are cold.
If you're hanging out...
feet are cold. I need more people in here.
If you're hanging out in Philadelphia and you can't go out because you're not vaccinated or you don't want to wear the mask, which is you have to do in Philadelphia, make the quick drive out here to Holmes, Pennsylvania, and hang out here. You can buy tickets at the door. They're $20. This is the biggest... What did you say, Slash? It was the biggest festival... in Delaware County?
Yeah, I believe it. This place is huge. He gave me a tour before we went on air, and there's like 15 different rooms.
They're
going to have live bands.
Beer pong tournament. There's going to be 10 bands here, 10 DJs, 10 different rooms. Bago or cornhole as we know it.
Bago.
Yeah, but since you don't have to wear a mask, if you have COVID, don't come.
Aerosmith's going to make an appearance, I think.
COVID,
I don't know.
Listen, Delco, they don't really care.
Yeah, I know they don't care.
Listen, they can do whatever.
Stay away. Wait till I leave.
Yeah, exactly.
Then. Just wait till I leave. Then you can come all you want to. If you got COVID, wait till I leave. When I'm gone, I'll be gone here in about another 20 minutes. Then you're welcome to come.
All right. And then download that app, man, that mobile app, Twin Spires. Download it on your phone. If you need help with it, come see us after the show. We'll help you out. We'll get you signed up. $10 deposit, $250 free bet. Put it on tomorrow's Pro Bowl or a basketball game effective on Monday. You can bet in Pennsylvania. You can bet in New Jersey. $10. Use the promo code Legion10. You get $250 worth of free bets that you can use for the Super Bowl next week. Or go see the girls, the calendar models. They'll sign your calendars, give you a 2022 Philly's Finest calendar, and they will take care of you with getting you signed up on the app. Make sure you do it today. Guys.
There's a little pause there.
Our final segment. I'm talking too fast again, probably. Our final segment here on the broadcast here today at the 2022 Freeze Fest at the Ridley House. We always wrap up every show with a little segment we love to call Kick-Ass or Jackass. And today is the Super Bowl edition of Kick-Ass or Jackass. Gentlemen, I'm going to bring up a topic. You're going to say Kick-Ass or Jackass. If you want to elaborate, you can a little bit. We got 6 minutes. 5 minutes if I'm going to try to get out of here before 57.
Let's
and then I've got Slash. Slash, you're going to join in with us as well. So, David, we'll start with you.
6 minutes, Dougie, for us.
Super Bowl, Kick-Ass or Jackass, prop bets.
Total Kick-Ass. Love the prop bets.
Yeah, Kick-Ass. I love that, too.
Slashy.
Kick-Ass to an extent. I mean, when it gets to, like, Gatorade color and all that, then I'm out.
Heads or tails and the kick.
Too gimmicky for you?
Too gimmicky.
Okay.
I'm out.
Right. Nah, who doesn't love a good prop bet? Huh? I'm Kick-Ass. Block pools.
I'll go with Kick-Ass only because that's for people at home. There's no other way to bet. It gets everybody included. Even if you really don't know football, you look up at the end of the first quarter and it's 10-3 and you've won $250. So
okay,
I'll go Kick-Ass.
Explain what a block.
You pick scores of like the score of the game. Three, you know, who's going to have 3 points, 10 points.
But you don't know when you pick the blocks. Right. You don't know what the numbers are
going to
be.
Okay, I got you.
It's like bingo. Yes. It's like kind of a bingo
thing. That's pretty cool. That's Kick-Ass. I like that.
Slashy.
Yeah. I think it's Jackass because
always a contrarian.
Half of the people are already out by the time they pick their numbers.
Don't ask him anymore.
It's like 2-2.
He really is a party pooper.
Yeah, party pooper.
This guy, and he's on 102.5 Fox Sports.
You
the can't,
gambler, he gets a chance to talk and he's negative.
You can't do a block pool on Twin Spires, so it's Jackass.
There we go.
Yeah, your takes are starting to sound like John Jansen. What's wrong with you?
I love Creed.
The halftime show, in general, not just this year's performance.
100% Kick-Ass. I love it. I love the weekend last year.
I saw
Paul McCartney when the Eagles played in Jacksonville. I love it. I think it's great. And I'm Kick-Ass all the way.
Kick-Ass. My favorite halftime show was Prince in the Rain.
Very cool.
Playing and singing Purple Rain.
In Miami.
Yes.
Yep. Definitely Kick-Ass. My favorite was Tom Petty. I forget what year it was, but that was phenomenal. And I'm looking forward to Eminem, Dr. Dre, a little change
school,
of scenery
yeah.
this year. Let's go.
This year's one is probably going to be one of the best because
it's the longest.
It's going to take
the longest.
Yeah, but it's going to take you back. Like for me, Williamstown Middle School, the early years of Williamstown High School, like listening to Eminem, Dr. Dre, Forgot About Dre. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a great show. Super Bowl in a cold weather city.
Jackass doesn't belong. I personally think the Super Bowl should be in
destination
New Orleans. Or Vegas every year.
Miami?
Nah, Miami's too spread out.
I'm talking like warm weather. Miami, Tampa.
Or dome. It should be in a dome.
Yeah, but
controlled
environment.
I'm talking about the week of for all the people down there.
Right.
It's great in
like Minnesota.
New Orleans. I'm all warm, but I agree. Warm weather.
Yeah, because Minnesota, you're in underground tunnels. You're in the Mall of America. Like, no, it should be a destination for fans to go to. Warm weather.
And Eagles fans got Jacksonville and Minneapolis.
Cold weather Jackass.
I hate the cold weather in general, so Jackass.
Yeah, my feet are cold now.
Welcome to Freeze Fest.
I was about to say,
when's the Super Bowl coming to Delco? Come on!
I'm kind of starting to hate this right now because my feet are cold.
All right, coinciding with the last one, just a little bit, having a Super Bowl played in Philadelphia someday.
Would be Kick-Ass.
Well, now you're contradicting me.
Yeah, I don't care. It would be selfish, it would be great, and... I mean, Kick-Ass.
They're going to line up for the Bicentennial. 2026, they want everything. They want all the All-Star games. They want the Super Bowl. They want everything in Philadelphia.
World Cup.
Yeah.
Because I'm here, it would be Kick-Ass. But if I was from somewhere else, it would be Jackass.
Yeah.
Screw Buffalo. Screw New England. I don't want a Super Bowl there. Philadelphia, Kick-Ass.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
Kick-Ass.
Exactly. The spread. And I'm not talking about the game spread. I'm talking about the food.
Oh, that's Kick-Ass. That's what the day of the Super Bowl is all about for people.
Fat pants.
Yeah.
Man, I just opened
Happy
up,
fat.
I just opened up a Wings and Things in Mount Holly.
Nice.
In time for the Super Bowl. So, food for the Super Bowl, Kick-Ass.
Food for the soul.
Yeah.
Gotta go Kick-Ass. I bet the Super Bowl Sunday here is going to be fantastic at the Ridley House as well.
Yeah, this place looks like it would be an awesome place to watch.
Plenty of TVs and everything.
Yeah. No doubt, guys. Rapid fire. No elaborating. Let's just go through Kick-Ass or Jackass.
Right,
give it to me strong here. Commercials.
Kick-Ass.
Kick-Ass.
Jackass, they've gone downhill in the last couple of years.
Jackass, they put them out a week before the Super Bowl now. Ridiculous ticket prices on the secondary market.
Yeah, jackass.
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 Jackass for sure. 4-hour overkill pregame shows.
Jackass.
Jackass.
That could go for every Sunday. Jackass.
Jackass.
Kickass. The traditional Gatorade bath for winning head coach.
Kickass.
Slash.
Kickass.
Jackass. I hate that.
Kickass. I'm not That's putting my money on it, though. Let's go.
Kickass if it's in a warm city. Jackass if it's in a cold city. Super Bowl parties.
Kickass.
Oh, kickass.
Kickass, definitely.
Kickass. People wanting the day after the Super Bowl to be a national holiday.
Jackass.
Dumbass.
Yeah. Kickass.
Yeah, bounce back, people.
Sorry.
Dumbass.
You're on an island by yourself there, slash jackass. A Super Bowl being played without Tom Brady is our last one.
Kickass.
Man, I'm going to miss him.
I'm not going to miss him.
I'm going to miss him, man.
I had enough of Tom Brady.
But, It's time to move on. It's kickass. It's kickass.
Bring in the new group of young quarterbacks. What was the question? Kickass.
Super Bowl without Tom Brady.
Yeah. Okay. Kickass.
In honor of Super Sam Brady, Sam Ross.
Yeah. Exactly.
Super fan Brady.
A Super Bowl with Jalen Hurts next year. Kickass.
Oh God. Yes, that'd be awesome.
We would love that.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
All right, guys, reminder.
A win in the Super Bowl with Jalen Hurts.
Download the TwinSpire app. Download the TwinSpire app. Download the TwinSpire app. Get $250 worth of free bets. Use the promo code Legion10. If you need help with it, come see us after the show. We're wrapping up right now. Big shout out to my nieces, Emma and Sophia. They were stopped at the door. They weren't allowed in because they're underage. They're 13. Love you, girls. Thank you for tuning in and hanging out with us. And Quimby, go back to enjoying yourself in the Cayman Islands. We no longer need your input.
Yeah.
Hopefully we don't talk to you for about another month and a half, but thank you for writing the checks.
And wear your sunscreen.
When he burned his face and he looked like Mar from Home Alone last year when he was in Florida. Green Legion Radio, 102.5, Fox Sports The Gambler. Come on down here to the 2022 Freeze Fest at the Ridley House. They're going to be partying all night long to 2 a.m. $20 at the door. Buy your tickets and come and hang out and get a bunch of drinks and make some bad decisions. That's a Vince Vaughn line. Green Legion Radio, 102.5, Fox Sports The Gambler. Thank you all for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next week.